Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanique.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back with a bitchin' bonus.
We're back with a bitchin' bonus. It's been too long.
Yeah, it's been a minute. What was our last bonus? Was it Degrassi Talks?
No, it was
Degrassi
the subreddit,
Reddit.
Which I actually, I want to listen back to it. I don't listen back unless I'm editing. I don't listen back to an episode, but I need to listen back to that because that was fun.
It was funny. I think I edited it and it was funny. Mm-hmm. Especially we did that tier list, like the tiers that someone came up with. We were having a good ass time actually. So I recommend it.
Yeah.
Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I am officially on summer holiday. I'm really excited to be talking about this reunion today.
Me too.
Yeah, it's just like, it's something a little bit different. Yeah, like, these bonuses are fun because we're talking within the world that we talk about, but it's just a little bit something different. A little something for the kids, you know?
Something for the kids. And a great something for the kids. I hope we should, our next bonus, I want to also watch the Miriam McDonald, Cassie Steele Instagram. Like, I haven't watched them yet, but they were suggested to me on YouTube after watching this, and I was like,
we'll definitely have to do that. Yeah.
I'm going to save you for later because I want to hear what the girlies have to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of recent bonus Degrassi content. Because outside of like, I mean, we're definitely going to have to go through Next Gen subreddit eventually. Recently, I would say like the past like few years, like there's a lot of kind of like extra like former actors, former like Degrassi players that are kind of like chatting and talking about Degrassi instead of like just the fandom speculating about like the same articles we've had for like years. So it's gonna be fun for bonuses to have like, you know, extra things outside of just the show itself to kind of chat about, and you know, instead of our fan fiction, you know, we, as much as we love our fiction, it's fun to have some real stuff
and all like speculation from them, and also like, I don't know, just like the behind the scenes of it all, because like there's a lot we don't know.
Exactly.
And I'm glad that they're like coming up to tell us. But hey, okay, so this is the ATX festival, and this 20 year reunion panel was hosted by Tubi. All of Degrassi is available on Tubi, but also YouTube. So I'm like,
yeah,
okay, but it's either way, it's all free content. Yeah, I'm not complaining.
It just depends on what platform you're watching it. Yeah,
exactly. So they got together with, okay, did you think that the two ladies at the beginning were like awkward as hell?
So awkward. It's also like, so yeah, well,
they had a script, right? But they weren't good at follow. It was weird.
Yeah. So for anyone interested, we were watching Degrassi 2021 reunion part one and part two. They're all on free. They're free on YouTube, put up by a true saint, Maya Edits and Scenes. Shout out to you on YouTube for screen
you,
recording and posting it on YouTube for
with
us
all your
all.
Instagram notifications popping up. Like, girl, turn the notice off.
But also, like, girl, you need, like, they were like, I don't have this on my phone. It's like when you get a brief overview of what the notification is when you get the notification.
Yeah, I don't have those. I turn, like, ew. Cause that's a good way to embarrass yourself. Like, if you're trying to show someone your phone real quick, and then, like, you get... I remember when I first got an iPhone, I let my text, like, previews. What? That's sick. Because anybody could be saying some wild shit to you, and you're trying to show your mom a picture, and it's like, hey, let me see the titties. Like, what? Ah!
Like, the one time you get that message is when your mom's also looking at your
phone.
And
it'd be, like, from a friend fucking with you, like, just trying to, like... Yes. It's not even real.
Yes.
But yeah.
They uploaded this to YouTube, and yeah, the two girls that are, it's happening over Zoom because 20, it's it's a Pandorama, Panda Express in here still. And, but yeah, the two hosts, it's the first time I've kind of really watched something seriously. Cause I can't watch Zoom events. Like it's just, I can't. But this is the first time I've kind of watched one and I'm like, oh, they're not, I don't think they're used to being on camera. Like,
yeah, these are definitely not like, because it's not even because of the Zoom, because it wasn't like, I would say that the panel was pretty well done and like not awkward. Very well. These two people.
The intro.
I don't know who they were, where they found them, but they weren't good. It just was like, it was very clearly scripted, but like. But the script was like, oh, like we're just having like a conversation, but it was like clearly not organic. Yeah. They should have gotten us.
It should have been us.
We would have been so good.
And like it literally reminded me, I'm like, oh, they sound like podcasters, but this is their podcast together. And like filming themselves trying to introduce this panel. And they never really came back on camera. So it was,
I'm happy they didn't. Yeah. Like, for a moment there, I thought they were going to be the moderators, and I was like, oh no, this is not going to be good. But they weren't. What was the moderator's name? Did you catch it? He's a writer. He's like a journalist.
Yeah.
And I wrote everyone else's name down. I didn't write his name.
Oh, thank goodness. I didn't. Yeah, I never write it. It will pop up in a second. Nope, his name is not showing up. But I don't know, maybe you're listening. Maybe you're a listener of the pod. If this,
oh, yeah. I mean, he seemed like he was like a Degrassi stan, so he might be a listener.
The thing is, I really loved the moderator because he was obviously like, he's like, all right, let's get down to business. Like, we got things to ask. We got things to do. Like,
he was like very efficient. And I love that they got someone who clearly like, grew up watching the show too. I think he's a little bit, he's like me, a little bit older than us.
Yeah.
So it was like, it's very clear that he grew up watching like Next
early
Gen.
30s. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, thank you. Cause like a lot of times you watch these reunion things and they get someone who like, they know what the thing is, but they're not really like into it.
Yeah.
So it ends up just being like,
yeah.
Ah, this is cute. Like my mom could have done this. And yeah. It's not like it would have been nice enough, but it's not good. But I love that it was somebody who, like, very clearly was passionate and, like, cared about the show and was really a really good moderator.
Yes, it was very much, like, you know, like, he's using, like, shorthand, like, Degrassi shorthand. Like, he's obviously, like, he's one of us. Like, he's one of, like, a fan.
He's one of the girls.
He's one of the girls. And he is just, like, he knew, like, the hard-hitting, like, he knew... Because I think he was reading off of, like, Twitter questions or, like, questions that they received that they want to ask people.
From the fans and stuff,
And he was
you
just,
could tell
like,
he knew what the fans wanted to hear about.
Yeah, because they'd be talking, like... I mean, because... Okay, let's talk about who was on there. They had... Because, obviously... Or maybe... not obviously, but Kit Hood has passed on since... prior to... And recently, but prior to this reunion. But they had... I can't remember the other
Linda Schuyler, who's the co-creator.
Yes.
The executive producer, Stephen Stone, writer and EP, Aaron Martin, and Stefan Brogren, who's producer and director and also played Snake.
Yes.
I had to write them down because like, I know who these people are important, but I don't know their names by their faces. So I had to write them down.
Yeah. I think they definitely had some interesting things to say, but I think also like, they had some interesting things to say, but it wasn't, I don't know, it's like from a viewer's perspective, I was less kind of interested about, they had some, I think, cool things I learned and I was interesting, but I was just like, let's get to the cast. I want to talk to the cast.
And, I mean, that's really what people are watching for.
Because they're the face of the show.
Yeah, like, which is, and I think also because, like, they didn't give us, I did learn some stuff, like you said. Like, I learned that, like, Stefan Brogren didn't know that he would be the first person on Canadian television to say the F word. Like, they did several different takes of you blank Tessa Campanelli.
Yeah.
Including you fuck Tessa Campanelli. And then they used that one. And he was like, oh, shit. Like, that was cool to learn. They're like, oh, he didn't know that. But, But I guess it was nice to kind of get context for some of like the controversial stuff, because he talked about the abortion episodes. Evan walked in when I was watching like this part where he was like, well, in our first abortion episode, then in our second abortion episode, Evan walked past, he was
and
like,
and then our
what?
Third.
He's like, why are there so many abortions at this school?
Because it's Degrassi, like, that's why.
It's Degrassi, baby.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I like...
It was cool. It was cool getting that context about, like, the censorship of the abortion episodes in the States.
Yeah. I thought that was very interesting. Yeah, the one they talked kind of like in the surrounding, as you're saying, the context of the abortion episodes, and for those, you know, if we're using any shorthand, sorry in advance, but for anyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, there was the abortion episode in Degrassi High with one of the twins. Mm-hmm. There was the abortion episode with Manny and Next Gen, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. in Next Class or in just the Degrassi, is it Next Gen still that the third
or is it Next Class? Abortion was Next Class because it was the girl, I don't remember her name, but she had pink hair,
right?
I saw that episode. Yeah.
And so they were talking about that, and in the Next Gen episode, the Next Gen episode with Manny, it's pretty widely known that that episode did not air in the States. And they kind of, the panel, the producer, the production panel was able to kind of give us some context about how, culturally and politically, because mm-hmm. women's bodies are always political, apparently, that's not a kind of big, like, issue that would be, like, kind of, like, it's not as big of an issue that would be concerning for, networks to pull or not in Canada, whereas in the States it very much is. And
mm-hmm. especially because it was in the context of like kids, it's about teenagers, so
and the decision to get an abortion and not like contemplate abortion and then eventually quote unquote make the right choice, you know, like it's mm-hmm. It's
she's keeping her baby.
Yeah. And so yeah, that was very interesting to hear, kind of just like, oh wow, because I think, you know, as a every American has an American ego, whether we like it or not, and we're just like, well, you know, Canada's just like us, they're just north. And, you know, and so I think and I'm sure our Canadian listeners are like, fuck yeah, we know, like we're tired of it, but it was very interesting kind of hearing that, that's a big thing that I think I personally had no idea about. And I think we kind of got a glimpse of it when we did our Degrassi Talk series about, was it sex or was it about, was that the sex episode or
sex
pregnancy?
And teen pregnancy.
Yeah. And it was like, we're like, wow, I can't believe like they're like interviewing kids about this hard hitting topic. And like in the 80s and 90s, like that's crazy.
Right.
But
it was like definitely ahead of its time. Also, it was cool to interest. It was interesting to learn that like apparently the script supervisor was fine with it until it was time to air the Manny abortion episode, which I was like, I didn't know it was like, but not surprising.
Yeah,
that
of
they
course.
Would be like, because similar to this one, the twins abortion episode, it wasn't both twins. I can't remember which one of the twins got
them. Erica, one special. Because there was like the slutty one. It was Erica, I think.
Yeah, Erica was the huge slut. Yeah. She wasn't slutty. She did sex one time. But yeah, like, exactly. But yeah, like apparently with that one, because I think we talked about it when we covered it, because I think we both watched two different versions of that episode.
Right.
I think yours was a little bit different than mine, because mine had the bit at the very end where the lady was like, your baby. And she like showed like, this is your baby. And, like the American version didn't show that. I was just like, mm-hmm. good choice, because that fucking part is weird.
Very weird.
Don't get your baby. It's your baby. Like, this like scary Czech woman, like, get away.
Her one mission when she came to Canada was like, no more abortions. Not on my watch.
Not on my watch. It ends today. Mm-hmm. This ends at prom. So, okay, so I wrote a note here, and mm-hmm. Is Stefan Brogren like kind of hot?
Yeah, he's like hot.
Like for an old man, he's like an old man hot. Like,
right? Listen, we've been as two young women that have had this podcast over 2 years now, and mm-hmm. we have watched Snake from like humble beginnings, and we are currently watching him still in humble beginnings. He's hot now. Like, I feel like
he's like Silver Fox hot now.
Yes, and he's like. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, you can like light up a blunt with him and just like hang out.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. You know, like Stefan smokes.
Oh yes. And he like, he's like, has the best backyard, like just like hang out and like day drink
with
and smoke.
Fairy lights and stuff. Yes. You know, it's like, it's really cute. It's nice out there.
Yes. And like he, like, I feel like we've invested the time that like we get to appreciate him now, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's funny, because like you said, it's because like we're older now, because I think watching this on TV at my age, I was like, no, this man is not attractive, like, when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I'm almost 30, so.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's a man.
That's a grown man.
That's a man. He has a car.
He has, like... health insurance and like possibly a retirement fund.
My boyfriend's older. He has a car.
Oh God. But yeah, he's like, I was watching it. I was like, what am I feeling for Mr. Simpson? Like, what is this?
Right. I was like, am I attracted to Mr. Simpson right now?
Right. Like, are we about to kiss? Like, what's happening?
Kiss me through the screen, baby. Yeah. He's hot. I like that. Yeah. And also, so, what was I going to say?
We'll be right back after a quick break.
Yeah, but anyway, they go through all of that and, like, kind of giving us the background of, like, how to... Oh, I love the bit where, so I knew this, but it was nice hearing them talk about like the decision to reboot Next Gen, like based off of
the talk show reunion.
Yes, the Jonavision reunion, and then I guess like a lot of people kind of like renewed interest in the show, and they had been working on wanting to do another teen show, and like one of the I think it was Yan Moore remembered mm-hmm. like, oh, Emma would be in middle school right now, like, which is genius for them to reboot it in that way. Still, it's still, you know, I like Emma now. In the seasons of Degrassi we're in right now, I do like Emma. I've slandered her a lot, but I still generally like Emma. I think a lot of my slander comes from knowing what she becomes, and I end mm-hmm. up hating the character. Mm-hmm. And it's so obvious why, and it's because these people like were obsessed with Emma. Like, they were obsessed. I mean, she's, like, the baby. She was the one who, like, rebooted the show. But, like, we'll get into it when we get to those seasons. Yeah. I still stand by the theory that, like, they Mary Sued her. She's, like, the favorite. But they didn't know what to do with her. So she just ends up being this character that's, like, doesn't seem to ever really experience consequences for anything and just exist. I don't know.
I agree.
I have a lot of opinions about Emma later that I'm just, like, I don't even know who this person is. Like... and they don't either, clearly.
Yeah. I think...
she didn't make any sense.
She didn't. But I liked... At one point, they were kind of talking about how the reboot happened. And obviously, right now, if you're just, like, stumbling upon this episode and you're still listening and you're like, what are they talking about? We are currently in season 2 of Next Gen. And they mm-hmm. were talking about how, with the reboot, they obviously... They had the kind of overlap of characters in the first two episodes of season 1. Mm-hmm. But season 1 was kind of still very after school special, still PG, like daytime television. That was really gross, sorry. Hold on. When they hit season 2, that's kind of when they were like, all right, we have more of an idea, we have our footing, we have more of an idea of, you know, what we're doing with this series, how we're gonna connect both the old and the new, and mm-hmm. they had more of an idea, and it's I think with us being in season 2 right now, it's very obvious, like, that they just knew... they were like they were confident in like what they were doing and knew what was gonna work. Absolutely. And definitely showed.
Because we've talked about it before on the main feed of like you feel the difference. Like season one definitely feels like an after school special. Like there's some story arcs, but for the most part it's very like self-contained. Like this happens to this character. I mean, like Emma almost gets like trafficked, but we never hear about it again, which is like it was a major moment. Like it's the fucking premiere starts with that shit, and like Emma never mentions that again throughout the show, and I'm like, that should have been something that came up again. Like Emma should have had some kind of like PTSD from that. It was like a fucked up way to start the show. But yeah, it's very after show special. And then like season two, it's like I mean, when we're recording this, we're about to, after we record this bonus, we're doing season two Shout, the sexual assault episode. Yeah. So like very different, because then you have, compared to season one and Emma's thing, it's like you have kind of similar situations and play out the same way, but similar situations, season two actually has consequences and we see it play out over multiple seasons versus season one, it just happened one time and then like, oh, okay, because like we'll never talk about Jordan. Emma should be afraid. Emma should be having flashbacks every time she's in media immersion. Like she should be terrified of computers. Like why is she like so just like like not affected by what the fuck happened to her?
exactly. But did you have any other kind of notes for like the kind of production standpoint of the reunion?
No, I'm ready to talk about the main event.
Yes. They start introducing these people one by one and I was like, they're here. The cast is here.
Everyone's here. So they had Shane Kipple, who played Spinner. They had Lauren Collins, my girl. Lauren Collins played Paige. Michael Chuck, my bitch, just my girl.
And she was thriving in this reunion. She like knew everybody. Yes. She like had all the stories. She was ready.
And she looks amazing. She looks great. They all looked really great. Yeah. But like, it's just funny because they all look like themselves.
They look exactly the same, like, but just like elevated. Yeah.
They have the same faces. Daniel Clark, who played Sean, who looked very cute. Yeah, he did. He has gray eyebrows. They're so bushy. I love them. I want to lick my thumbs and smooth his eyebrows.
Oh, yes.
I think he liked that.
Oh, he, like, girl. He would pay you to do that.
Oh, yeah. I think he would love it. Like, he'd be like, oh, God, where have you been all my life? I'm like, just wait. Waiting for you, baby. Jake Epstein, who played Craig, who I dug deep into like his Wikipedia page. He's been working pretty very consistently since this show. He's on Broadway, he's on TVs and movies. Like he's like under the radar, but not, because he's like very much on Broadway.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I love how when he came on, he like had like a blue. he had the worst like camera like.
He was so like the lighting was he like was so washed out. He just has a floating white head,
and he had like he literally just had like a blue sheet hanging up in the background. I think the character I'm gonna call them all by their characters' names. Sean,
that's fine.
Sean was like, you like ready for an audition, son?
Yeah, like, he's in like a self tape. Like
he called him out so quick, and I was like, yes.
We also had Andrea Lewis, who played Hazel. Little Miss, I don't have anything else to say about Degrassi. Well, you did at this festival, but you could be on our podcast now. I don't hold that answer. And Christina Schmidt, who played Terry.
Gorgeous.
Who didn't say very much, and I was sad, though.
I know.
The conversation was kind of dominated by certain people, and, like, people were just there. And I was like, I know, like, Terry got, like, he played my girl. But, like... I wanted to hear from like more people because, but I guess time and just
it was a very short reunion. I mean we could have had hours in my opinion, but
honestly I hate to say it, but I could have done without the newer. I'm biased because these are the ones I grew up with. Like I've seen all of Degrassi, so I know who these other characters are. But I watched it more out of, like, because I'm a completionist. And it's like, let me just see what the show, like, is what they're doing in the show. But at this point, I think when these characters, so, like, Aislinn Paul, who played Claire Edwards, Luke Billick, who was Drew Torres, and Monroe Chambers, who played Eli, I was definitely out of the age demographic when, like, I think a lot of, like, the teens who were like, oh, my God, who love, like, the whole Claire Eli, like, storyline. I was like, this, I'm just watching this just because. And I was not as invested. So, like, I get why they had to be there, though, because they are fan favorites for, like, the later.
Exactly.
You know, which is so interesting about Degrassi because, like, it is the only show where, like, you have multiple generations watching. And not just, yes. like, because, not just from, like, the classic junior high and high. Even with the next gen, because it lasted so many seasons, there's different eras of viewers who are technically within the same, I guess, age. Like, they're all millennials, Gen Z-ish, or cuspers. But there are definitely, like, generations of folks who, like, I feel like our generation was more, like, season one to maybe, I think season six was when,
seven, yeah.
when the OG grade sevens finally graduated. So it was like that. And you have other chunk that's like season seven to like maybe 11 and then like 12. Mm. You know, it's like very interesting how that plays, you know?
And it was interesting how they kind of talked about that in the reunion, how like as actors and kind of like the mega celebrities that they were for kids, how it was different. From like the next gen like group to like the kind of like newer next class generations of like what celebrity was like for them, because obviously with the newer actors they dealt a lot with like they had the social media connection of like the fans had quote-unquote access to them all the time and could like immediately kind of like give them feedback or react to series and episodes and the actors could immediately see that, whereas like the older generation was talking about like how like they would have to like arenas and like have like meet and greets and
like, the people would fight tours. There were mall tours, like fucking like Tiffany, like I think we're alone now, they're having mall tours, which is like can we talk about how, like, mall tours are no longer a thing? Because the malls are dying.
I know.
Like, that, mall tours were a thing. Like, mall tours for TV shows. But also the fact that, like, pop stars would just, like, Britney Spears would do mall tours. Like, exactly. Early career. And that was just a thing that happened.
Yes. Like, you know you've made it when you don't have to do mall tours anymore. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was
because
like,
everyone had to do them. Everyone did a mall tour. Like,
pay your dues. Let's go.
Go ahead. Get your ears pierced with the Claire's and then come get up on this fucking white, cheap-ass stage and sing to a bunch of children.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's actually funny.
At the Mall of America.
It's actually funny. In China, like, shopping malls are dying everywhere else in the world, but they are thriving here in China. But they always have, like, I always joke that there's always, like, some, like, children's fashion show, like, any given Saturday
at a shopping mall in China. Fashion shows were a thing. I forgot about those.
It's, it's, like, a fashion show slash, like, toddlers and tiaras, like, pageant, like. And they are everywhere, every fucking weekend. And it's just, like, ugh. It's sometimes like moments like that where I'm like, ah, history lives on. Like it's the nostalgia's here.
I'm so happy because like that really is such like a weird part of our culture that like was especially because like when malls were like, at their peak, they were huge.
Oh yes.
And in the grand scheme of like timeline of like of all of time, obviously most things, it's a blur. It was a blip on the timeline, but was a huge blip. But now, like, they're just not a thing anymore. Yeah. Now malls are just, like, ghost towns.
Yeah, very much so.
And there was a time where literally you just would go to a mall to see, like, your favorite stars from a TV show.
I remember...
And then go to, like, the Orange Julius after.
Yes, kind of onions, pretzel.
Yeah.
If you're really hungry, you get, like, little, like... two dish combo from the stir fry place where they give out free teriyaki,
chicken and rice,
the teriyaki and the bourbon chicken free samples, like
little bitch, that shit was delicious.
Like
damn,
I could like really go for that right now, actually. But
we were such little mall rats. We were at the mall.
I know, but But like, that's like, that was like, that was your world. Yeah. And so like, and of course Degrassi was like, the teens will be there. We're making this mall tour. Like, get on the bus.
Kids like, love malls.
Oh my okay. gosh. Yeah. Cause it's like, it's your world. Like, this is your society. Like, this is your, like, you have school and you have like schools, like your neighborhood. And then if you like want, like the mall was like our first like club, like our first like social scene. Like if you want to be yeah. seen, you have to go to the mall.
I felt like feel the first feeling of independence was like
yes.
The time like when you got to the age where your mom didn't come with you to and like just gave when she just gave me money.
Gave
and
you money. Like, you could spend I'll your pick own you money.
Up at three, and I was like, I'm free. I'm an adult.
Like, get out of the way. Like, get out of the way with me and my Velcro wallet. Like. We're here to stay.
Okay? I'm hitting up the Forever 21, bitch.
Yes.
Yeah. That but yeah, it's, I know what's cool too was learning about. Okay, so they talk about a lot of stuff. They talk about like the audition mm-hmm. process, which I've seen some of their auditions because it's on YouTube. Know. You can watch auditions, and they're so cute because, like, one of the best parts about Degrassi was that they were actual kids and like, yes. which is truly just. Bring that back. Like, I'm so tired of seeing these old ass, like, 20... I would be cast as a teenager. I Babe, know. I use a retinol serum. I have no business playing a fucking 17-year-old using a retinol serum. I'm bitch, I'm old. And God, we were talking about, I gotta go to geometry. Like, you're... No, you don't. Like, go get a breast exam. Like, you are so old.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, bitch, you get a mammogram. Like, what are you doing? Pretend like you're what? On a cheerleading squad. You got bitches freezing their eggs and then going and playing teenagers. No.
Mm-mm.
Let me stop. But yeah, that was such an amazing part of Degrassi. It was like watching kids. Like,
yeah.
And someone says, I can't remember who said it. I want to say it was our Silver Fox, Stephen Brogan. It was like, it had a different impact because the same storylines were playing out on the shows that did have older actors, but it definitely reads differently when you have a person who is also experiencing the thing
mm-hmm.
do it versus someone who has experienced it and is playing the part through an adult lens versus through like a genuine. It adds a level of vulnerability that I think a lot of shows don't.
Yes.
Don't really, not authenticity because the shows don't have anymore.
Yes. I think it's, I don't know, I think that's why, for the most part, I mean, the actors just are, they do their job very well, even at that young mm-hmm. age. But I think what makes, like, the acting, if especially if they're even playing, like, a serious thing, or, like, kind of, like, having a serious moment, is that... Like, authentically, if a child's kind of going through something similar, they also don't, they're very unaware and very, like, they don't know what the fuck is going on because they're a child and, like, this is a lot happening to mm-hmm. them all at once. And so, right. I think authentically, there is a sense of kind of, like, naivety and, like, not fully comprehending the scope of how whatever happening to them, the impact that it is going to have to them long term, because obviously you're a child, you only know what's happening to you immediately. And so I think mm-hmm. when it's played by young actors, I think it's the even if they haven't experienced it personally, the naivety still reads as like authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. And it's you're right. It's like when as an older person trying to play it younger, they're doing it through a different lens, and they like mm-hmm. are just like more aware and more aware of the world and how big it is, you know. And so I think
yes,
I never really thought about it before, but it like having the younger actors just like overall reads it overall like in so many different ways. This reads so much more authentic.
Yeah, and I think it meant so much to viewers because
mm-hmm.
this show is on at the same time as like the OC and like the other and it's like okay, those shows like really hurt my feelings because like you have people playing teenagers and they're like they're beautiful. I love that Degrassi like they're kind of funny looking, and I don't mean that in like a mean way, but they just like, they look kind of, some of them kind of look kind of goofy because they just look, they're awkward teenagers. Yeah. They looked like me. I look like, it's interesting watching a show where I was like, I could be on the show, like not realistically, but like I could fit into this world because I look like them. No one on the show, and it changes later in the show and as we progress, because I think the show got a little bit very Americanized, I think, later on, so it did get a little bit more glossy. But I love, like, when you watch these early seasons of Degrassi with these characters, like, you see pimples, like, you see them, they have acne, you know, like, some people still have their baby fat, they still, like, they're wearing braces, and it's not, like, fake. Like these character needs their teeth are fucked up, so they have braces on.
Yeah,
you know, like I like that because it makes, because that's what kids looked like when we went to school with. They like, even the hot guy had acne, like,
yeah,
because that was, because everyone did, like,
yeah, exactly.
No one had clear skin, like, what?
Yeah, it was, I think that's why, you know, like the fandom and everything, Degrassi, these were our first like approachable celebrities. They were on TV, but there is everything they're going through, like how, like what, everything they were going through, like literally could be happening in your school, could be happening to you, and like you related to them so much, and like it wasn't on like network television, so like it kind of, I feel like, I think every Degrassi fan probably felt this of like, oh, well, like, it, like, I like Degrassi. Not everyone likes Degrassi. Like, you know, like, it's kind of, like, my little secret that, like, me and, like, my close friends have. But, like, obviously, like...
a lot of people watch this show.
Yeah, but yeah,
I definitely felt like I was a part of, like, a special club.
Right?
Well, also because when I started watching Degrassi, everyone wasn't watching it yet. Because because this was early, like, premium channels, too. So you had to have the N. Which was not like noggin, on, like, you had to have noggin specifically, because at night it became the N, which, like, I get chills thinking about that era, because the N, before it became Teen Nick, and before, like, it got shitty later, I feel like, because I think, like, Viacom bought it, and then it got, like, just kind of bad, but I remember, like, the N had some of the best shows. You had this, you had Radio, a lot of Canadian shows, Radio Free Roscoe, you had South of Fucking Nowhere, which, like, very important part of my, like, bisexual awakening was, like...
Yes, girl.
Like, oh, like, bisexuality exists. I think that's what I was like, what is that? I was like, okay, that's new for me. South of Nowhere, you had O'Grady, you had, like, all of these, like, just weird teen shows that were, like, that were nothing like I'd ever seen, because everything I saw on TV was, like, The OC, it was Dawson's Creek, it was, like, that more, I don't know, it just was, like, a really interesting time, and, like, time capsule. And then you had the website. I used to love going on, like, the N website, because they had all these games and shit, like, these weird, like, quizzes, and, like, they had forums. It was, like, such, like, a, I want to cry when I think about it, because, like, that was, like, a fun, interesting moment that is, like, forever gone, because they changed everything, and then it just kind of, like, wasn't as good, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, and it felt so authentic and just like, this is my world.
And I completely agree. And I think that's why the Degrassi fandom is very, like, that's why, like, these, like, grown-ass people, like, ourselves included, are, like, getting, we just get so invested and so excited about things, like, I mean, that's what, like, I mean, like, even I get annoyed sometimes reading the comment section of YouTube, because I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, they're just saying, like, it sounds like a bunch of, like, 10-year-olds, like, commenting on a show.
Because like, they are. Like, I think it's a lot of young people who are, like, discovering it now, and I'm like, oh, you don't get it. You just don't get it. Like, you had to be there. Had to be there, kid.
It's either the 10-year-olds, or it's that, you had to be that. Well, when I was a kid and I watched this, it was like, it's like, oh, I can't believe, like, this happened. Like, I was like this when I watched this the first time. Like, it's either, like, young kids watching it for the first time, or older people being nostalgic about watching it and being in their feelings about things. But one of the things in the, kind of going back to the authenticity of the actors and stuff that I didn't really know, but, like, obviously the kind of production side of things was very intentional with a lot of the way that they want to portray things. Obviously, this is the, what their third time around when it comes to Degrassi. They had Degrassi Junior High, Degrassi High, and now they're in Next Gen. And especially with the later seasons of Next Gen, they kind of like really got their footing. And they're talking about how I think the moderator had asked all the people on the panel about, for the kind of very serious episodes and the hard hitting episodes, what was that like to prepare for? Obviously, because they were kids portraying these things, and it wasn't always the case that they had like experienced it personally. One of the things that I thought was just like, of course, I heard it and I was like, of course they did, because they really want to, like, they care about telling these things truthfully and authentically, was when Craig, you know, has his diagnosis of bipolar disorder, and and like dealing with that and what that looks like, how that manifests. And they were talking about how Craig didn't really fully, he didn't have any experience with that, but they basically brought in the healthcare professional or mental health professional, and like brought people in to kind of like guide him through it, which, I mean, like, again, ahead of its time, because this is, was it early 2000s? This is peak people calling each other like bipolar if they're like acting one way or the other.
If you have a mood swing, it's like, oh, you're bipolar or something. Yeah.
And they could have, the show very much could have just been like, well, just act bipolar, you know, like, and just like do whatever you're going to do. Because that, to be honest, that would have just been acceptable. Like at that time, it wouldn't have aged well.
Yeah, no one would say anything about it.
Exactly. It would have aged well, but like that would have been acceptable. But like, just like the things like that, that they were just like intentional about being like, hey, like young actor, we want you to get this right. And they brought up kind of, I'm trying to think of other times that there is, just like other, I think it's the only one I remember someone mentioning,
mentioned
from experience. Yeah. One of the actors did.
But you're totally like, wow. Right. Yeah. And I think it's kind of like, cause later on Aislinn Paul, who plays Claire, she mentioned, she's like, you know, I guess she had spoken out about 13 Reasons Why. And she's like, there is a responsibility you have when you have a young audience. And I'm like, I agree with that. Like, I don't think that, you know, we need to like be like, yeah, TV needs to teach kids everything. I'm definitely not of the camp that's like, think of the children, like they can't be exposed. Yeah. No, I think it's very important for children to be exposed to all kinds of shit, you know, as safely as possible. But I think you're not gonna be scarred forever if you see like a titty or you see like something a little violent. Like, you'll be fine. I think you definitely need adults around you to kind of guide you through it and like maybe talk to you about it, but I don't think it's the end of the world. But I think she's right. I think it's different with a show like Degrassi because the audience was young. It wasn't just like, I think we compare it to like a Euphoria or something, and Euphoria has its own controversies. Mm-hmm. But Euphoria's audience, which is, I think, part of the criticism, is that like it's about teens, but I'm pretty sure the audience is mostly older people. I don't think it's that many teenagers actually watch Euphoria. But like, you can get away with that kind of stuff because, like, even though it's about teenagers, the audience is older. You can, like, you don't really have that much responsibility because the expectation is, like, well, you're an adult, so you should, like, figure it out. Mm-hmm. But I really do appreciate that Degrassi was always very – they were 100%, you know. They dropped the ball a few times. Yeah. But I'll say for the most part, they definitely did approach these things with sensitivity but without being preachy. And I think that's the balance that shows fuck up, because then they either – because nowadays, I feel like what happens, they either just go loose cannon and they just give a fuck, or they're super hyper woke and like, I hate saying politically correct, but like to a point where it's very like, now what did we learn? And it's very like, come on, like, kids aren't stupid. Like, you don't have to do it that way. You can find a happy medium where, you know, I'm going to show you something with that is sensitive and I'm going to like take care to do it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not necessarily telling the kids of what they should do about this. It's just kind of
you're laying things in front of them.
This is what it is, and this is how this character dealt with it. mm-hmm. were the consequences positive or negative, you can take that with what you want and then kind of help yeah. guide you through that. And I think that that's really important. I think it's why the show got so much better compared to like the earlier iterations that did feel very much like, I'm teaching you a lesson today. You know, the lesson wasn't as obvious. And I think it's part of the reasons why I think teens were a lot more receptive to it because mm-hmm. no, you're a teenager. You don't want people, adults telling you what to do. Like, you don't want adults teaching you lessons. Like,
yeah, that's very much how, like, I feel like a big shift that started happening as we're watching all the episodes. The biggest shift that Degrassi Junior High was very much like, oh, we're adults, like, trying to approach you from a younger perspective and teach you things. Like, that was very obvious that it was, like, four kids, but by adults. Degrassi High was kind of shifting, but I think for us it's a little bit difficult to really grasp because we didn't grow up in the 80s, so it still seems very dated. But Next Gen, especially in season 2, it started that shift of like, it was four kids by adults, but it was definitely like it was more like, it wasn't so like, oh, like, look, my mom wrote this. Like, it was, yeah. It was much more approachable. It was like, it was a big shift in like of less teachy and more just like, here are stories that kids are going through. Full stop. Like, that's
and
it.
And that's it. Yeah.
And sometimes they're gonna like sometimes it's gonna be like a, like, it's going to be resolved and solved, but not always. And I think also what they do a better job with later is that they kind of draw out storylines and play it out over several episodes. Because I think what happens with these kind of after-school specials is that, you know, they're like the classic like teen sitcoms, like I think of like Boy Meets World, where it's like everything's solved in 22 minutes, like you know, like,
yeah,
and that's not reality when it comes to like issues and problems and things. They're not just solved with, you know, Danny Tanner sitting down in the bed with you with some somber music. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it happens over years and months. And when it comes to relationships and fights and arguments, like, they're just not solved right away. And you have to, like, I'm thinking right now of like the Ashley storyline with Ashley and her friends, like her wanting to be like, I apologize. Why aren't they my friends again? You know,
yeah, like some people don't accept your apology, and that you have to kind of just live with that.
Yeah.
And that kind of, that gets resolved later, but like, it gives us time, because realistically it would take time. Also, to that point, and I think it's interesting too, I like that Degrassi, we've kind of deviated from like the festival necessarily, right. I think it's just kind of, it's triggered a lot of conversation, but I like that Degrassi wasn't afraid of also having unlikable characters.
Yes.
Like, there were characters that just like were kind of just shitty. Like, some of them are redeemed, and some are just like, they're just a shitty person. Like, that's just what it is. But I saw an interesting conversation like a few months ago on Twitter that was kind of about like the Gen Z millennial divide, and how like, and I kind of agree with this to a certain extent. I think that, you know, in an effort to be more woke and more you know, socially aware, which I think is ultimately a good thing, this unfortunate thing has happened where I think a lot of times young audiences now, and I think it's probably in part because they're young and just, you know, you have opinions that you're going to change. They expect all characters to be moral because they need to be good. And it's like, no, you need to have characters that are bad. And like, I remember I saw this thread, Degrassi came up and someone mentioned Spinner, and like Spinner being one of them, honestly a very interesting character. I think like the fact that Spinner is openly homophobic to Marco, openly. But we see Spinner in a season 2 or 3 helping Marco get ready for his first date with a guy. Yeah. But we allow us to have a character who's a piece of shit, but learns. And it's like, because the reality is that people can change, especially because these are kids. Kids, exactly. especially kids, especially can change. Like, you know, they're not, I feel like there definitely is a pressure now, and probably in part of like, just, I think this need for everyone to be like, so woke, in which isn't bad necessarily. I'm not trying to be like anti-woke or anything, but there is this need, I think, of like teenagers where it's like, we're really hard on young people to be perfect and aware and like you should know. It's like, no, because teenagers are fucked up. Like,
yeah,
you know, Spinner is terrible. Paige has her terrible, like they all have their, actually all of them have pretty terrible moments on this show.
Yeah.
But that's what being a teenager is like. Sometimes teenagers exactly. are just bitches for no reason. They're just mean. But like, that doesn't make them bad people. I think what makes them a bad person is they don't learn from that. They don't try to change. I think if someone is capable of doing it and learning, then that makes them, that just makes them human. And I think that's cool. I like that about this show because like, some people are just shitty on this show.
Yes. Okay. Do you want to talk about anything that you learned? Like either like a fun fact or something?
Good question.
So the one I'm thinking of. Oh, go ahead. No, you go first.
Oh, this is less of a fun fact and more of just like happiness that everybody pretty much agreed that the Spinner Emma relationship was weird and shouldn't have happened. I'm so happy they all were like, yeah, no, that's not canon. That was fucking weird.
And I love how like the producers were like, didn't really have an answer for it. They were like,
because they did it.
So like, next question.
They really were trying to play it off. But, like, everyone was like, no, that was weird. Why would you guys do that? No one liked that. I don't think anybody watched that episode or that movie and was like, oh my God, yeah, Spemma. Like, what? What the fuck is this?
Yes. I loved that. I also loved that they were kind of talking about, this is when I loved the moderator. He was like, he asked the actor that portrayed Sean, he was like, so is Sean like alive or dead? Like, did he die?
Did Sean die in war?
It's like, yes, these are the questions. He didn't ask the producers. He literally asked the actor that portrayed Sean. And I was like, I love that so much.
Because we can't trust the producers.
No.
Like, actually, Sean and Manny hooked up. It's like, no, no, they didn't. Shut up. That didn't happen.
And I love how they, because they kind of were like, you know, like, they're like, so, are we getting a reboot? Are we getting, like, a, I don't, are we getting something? And so they're kind of talking about, like, oh, yeah, like, what if, you know, what if, like, Sean came back, you know, like, and, like, that was kind of, like, a little special or something. And I was like, yes, please. I'm going to vote yes
for I would love to see a reboot of this, but it's not with the school necessarily, it's just with them older.
we kind of get that though
there's an episode in Next Class where there is a reunion and some of the characters come back as themselves. Ooh. Which is cute. It's a cute thing, and like, you know, it's fun. You have a terrible awkward moment though where like it's the class 10-year reunion or whatever, and you have like Emma's in it, Spinner's in it. I think Paige and Marco show, because I think Marco's a teacher at one point in the school. Like, there's a little cute little moment where they all kind of come back, and then you have like Spinner call Snake Dad, and I'm just like, ew! You guys really pretended like that actually happened, and it's like no one wanted this.
Yeah, no one asked for this either.
No one asked for this.
Speaking of Marco, I loved the kind of insight that they gave us about how Marco's so Marco had originally, the actor that portrayed Marco originally had auditioned for Craig's role.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't, they basically, it was like, they didn't, obviously the actor that played Marco didn't play Craig. But they said that they were like, okay, we like him. And they basically formed the character Marco possibly around him.
Yeah, because like, remember we just met Marco actually on the show at the break time.
Dancing.
As a break dancer, and I think they wrote the character Marco in part by just like, we like this kid and we want him on the show. But at the time they said that we did not know that Adama was gay, and I don't think Adama knew he was gay. But we also didn't know Marco was gay yet, and it just kind of like happen, and I was just like, oh, that's so cool, which is why I think Marco's
so cool,
one of the favorites, because it is like,
it's so,
he is gay and like he's able to play that, like this journey in such an authentic way, because it's in part like his experience, you know.
Exactly. So good.
Can't wait to get to the Marco storylines.
I know. Can't wait for the fashion moments.
Yes. Troy's fashion inspiration, yes. Marco.
I can only imagine Troy's like vision board is just like magazine clips of Marco's fashion.
His little beanies. Yeah. He goes through a lot of phases that are just like psychotic, but
I know.
We love him. Yeah.
Yes.
I have a question for you before we wrap up. Who would you have liked to see, like, on the panel of all, like, because a lot of people, obviously, they couldn't have the thousand people that have been on this show, but, like, what's one character / actor you would have loved, like, to have seen on this?
I think, I was actually just thinking, like, the actor that played Liberty.
Ah,
I think...
DJ Me-Time.
Yes. I mean, like, my dream panel would be to have all the kind of, like, I don't want to call them D-list characters, but, like, the kind of, like, like, Justice for Hazel, Justice for Liberty, like, all the, like, number one, the people of color on the show, just a panel of them, but also just, like, a panel of, like, the kind of, like, side characters that... like, we're obviously, like, mega famous, but we're kind of given the shit end of the stick for a lot of things. Like, I want, like a Terry, a Hazel, like a, like, I would want to hear their kind of perspective of, like, what was it like, for you with that. But I think also, like, especially with Liberty and Terry, what was it like portraying like the fat girl? What was it like portraying the weird dorky like nerd of the group that like gets pregnant? Like, what is that like? Gets pregnant and then your boyfriend gets murdered. Like, what is that like? And like, what is that like? I want to know, like, especially for like the kind of like, and like Toby, like, what is it like portraying the weirdo and the doofus, but like, and then like having to not be known as that person in real life. Like, it's Screech effect, you know?
Like, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I would love to know. R.I.P. I always forget about that. That's pretty recent, actually. Yeah. But yeah, like, what is that like? Especially like, because again, these are teenagers with teenage hormones and emotions doing these things. So what is that like? Like, that's like, that sounds terrifying. Like, how do you get through that?
So basically, what's it like playing, like, honestly, the Uggo? Like, you were the Uggo. Like, Toby was Uggo. I don't think he was ugly, but like, he played
you're playing the Uggo, which in your head you're like, then I am the Uggo. Like, if I'm playing the Uggo, then I must be Uggo.
Well, it was like Molly MacLear said, she's like, trust me, they know. She's like, character actors are like, they know.
They're very self-aware.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, what was that like? Especially because, like, it's just when you're up against characters that people were like, oh my God, Craig. Like, this is the hot ones. Like, damn, that sucks. Because, like, were people at the mall tour, like, Toby? Like,
that was okay. One of my favorite stories was when Craig was like, oh yeah, it wasn't a mall tour, it was like they were at like some like theater, and it was him and Aubrey Graham the Craig and Jimmy were on opposite sides. They split them up and put them on opposite sides of the arena because there was too many people, so they made all the guests be like, okay, you have to choose. You can only stand in one line to get to who you want to meet. And Craig was like, yeah, my line was like out the door, and like no one really wanted to meet Jimmy. And then it's like, he's like thinking back today, it's like, wow, like, I wonder if there's like any girls out there that are like, damn, I could have met Drake.
That's true.
And I chose to meet Craig.
Yeah, I met this fucking this guy. That's true. I mean, but Craig was like, when we get to people, Craig was it. I let's just say I had many horny dreams about Grey Labs.
Yes. Also,
a teenager.
Do you remember? Okay, so my next door neighbor went to our high school as well. Do you know who my next door neighbor was?
No.
Okay, we're behind a paywall. David Turner. He was like in theater a little bit. He was like maybe 2 years older than us at Paybridge.
He played Dave from the show?
No, sorry. No. My next door neighbor in real life.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? Okay, yeah, his name was David Turner.
Yeah, he was at Paybridge and he was like 2 years older than us.
Yeah, huh.
He like was real life Craig. Like he kind of looked like Craig.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I remember I always thought that. I didn't think my next door neighbor was like cute or like anything really to like think about. But I remember when we got to high school, like, and I was in the same school as him, I was like, oh, he's like hot. And I think also what played to that was that he like kind of his fashion, his style was kind of like Craig as well. He kind of looked like him. He had like a little bit longer hair.
Yeah, like, kind of like emo-ish.
He played an instrument. Like, yeah. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's hot. But I was just thinking it was Craig.
Yeah. I mean, also, it just was like the moment. I think like this was like when Craig was at his peak hotness. It was like during mm-hmm. that emo, like kind of like rocker boy phase. Playboy. That like he kind of just fit it. He's like tall and skinny with like his little studded belt. And that was like the look.
Oh, and skinny also just, jeans, Craig.
Yeah. God, we're going to get there. Downtown Sasquatch, Craig. Ooh. Can't wait till we get to that. We'll be there
can't
before we know.
Wait.
That. Yeah, that was funny though that did happen to them. Also, the yes. point that which Justine talked about, Justine Elizabeth,
from yes, the
Keep This Up podcast, mentioned like how much Canadians didn't really care about them, and she was and they confirmed it because they were like, yeah, like. When we do, like, the meetups and stuff in Canada, it was very, like, chill. We crossed the border, and, like, Americans were obsessed with us and, like, loved yeah. us. And I'm like, I wonder why. I really think it could just be because we didn't have anything like this. Mm-hmm. Because our shows were so – the American shows were so different. I think we just, like, ate it up more. Because I feel like, generally speaking, Canadian television is a little bit more, like, the kind of – it's a little, like, cheaper. It's a little more, like, gritty. And I think – maybe that's why it didn't resonate as much with Canadians, whereas for us it was like this is like a breath, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was yeah. different, and it stood out, you know, from yeah. like the pack of other shows that existed.
And I think it's like one of those things of like with I'm thinking of like for me, like my teen show was like One Tree Hill. I don't know if we have any One Tree Hill heads out there, but like
I've never seen that show.
I wanted to be a One Tree Hill Raven, and the thing is, there are a lot of comparisons of One Tree Hill, the early seasons. We're not going to talk about the flash forward because that was a cultural reset and we just don't think about it. But the early seasons of the high school years of One Tree Hill, a lot of it was very comparable to Degrassi of like things that the kids were going through and stuff. But it was like, but it also like, it, One Tree Hill was like a more approachable OC.
Because it was about like a regular town, right? It wasn't like
yeah, small town.
OC that was like, you know, very yeah. it was very OC was more like in the Gossip Girl type of
yes.
world of like rich teens, you know.
Yeah. So we had like One Tree Hill, but like One Tree Hill was also like it was a ridiculous drama. It was a soap opera, and like they're all played by adults. And so like if I was gonna fucking see Chad Michael Murray, like Chad Michael Murray is a celebrity, right? Like he is a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And like, if I were to see him on the street, I'd probably pass out. I wouldn't like, he's not like an approachable kind of like person. And I feel like mm-hmm. when it came to Degrassi, which is kind of what they were talking about in Canada and what Justine was talking about, is that like, you would see them out and about just like doing shit. Like
yeah.
the Degrassi actors.
So well, seemed like they lived very normal lives too, because yes. they were like. They still went to school, and like I guess they filmed this in the summer, so like they just kind uh-huh. of I could see that. Yeah, if you live in Toronto, you probably would just like see them.
Yeah. Around. And like
Or you knew someone who knew them, like there was like their cousin yeah. or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we as teenagers knew, like we know we're like these are approachable people. Like they're not like what That's they say, like they're not like Hollywood hot.
Yeah, I feel like even today, even though like they're all like they mean a lot to me, but I feel like if I ever saw like Lauren Collins in the world, I would feel comfortable going up to her and be like, hey, I'm like, can I get a picture of your page? Like, I could talk to her. Whereas if I saw like, I don't know, Florence Pugh or something, I'd be like, I can't talk. I can go talk to her. Like,
it's no, kind of like when like we think celebrity. Of like a social media celebrity. Mm-hmm. But like a vlogger you follow, like you just
like YouTubers. It's like I can talk.
Yes, yes, they're like an approachable, but like they're like you don't they don't know you, like you don't know them, but you feel like you know them, and so it feels approachable.
Yeah, it's very parasocial. It's a parasocial relationship. I feel like I know these people because I grew up with them. So it's like
yes,
girl, come take a picture with me. Like stop faking.
Exactly.
You ain't got shit to do. Come take a picture with me. Busy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else that you want to add about the panel reunion?
Oh, I wanted to say someone I would have liked to have seen, which is one of my favorite characters. I would have liked to have seen the character I played, Stacey Farber, who played Ellie. I would have liked to have had Ellie on it because, like, she's another good character that had some amazing storylines. And I'm like,
I didn't even think about that.
But we're talking about like, oh, like characters who were prepared. Like, she had some of the biggest, like fucked up storylines, like heavy storylines, like the whole, like, cutting stuff, alcoholic mom, like, she had, like, Ellie was going through it, boy, in high school.
Through it.
And I would have liked to have seen her, because she, like, she was a cool character that I, I really liked that character.
Well, I know she's definitely still acting. She was in,
I saw her in a commercial the other day.
Yeah, and she was in I think, in maybe one or two episodes of Schitt's Creek.
Awesome. Love that. Yes.
Canadian, Canadian production. So, I would have loved to have her on the panel. That would have been so nice.
Yeah, she was a really good character from, like, the early Next Gen.
Mm-hmm.
And that who we just met as well in season 2.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to get more Ellie and more of her stories because they're really great.
Yes.
They're really
so
great.
Excited.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I have to say. I mean, I love this. This was cool. Yes,
it was so good.
Yeah,
if you guys haven't watched it, definitely go check it out. Because I think at first I was just like, ugh. I mean, like, no, I wasn't like, ugh. But I was also kind of just like, oh, what am I going to learn from this? Like, I'm like, I'm an expert now. What else can I possibly know?
I'm a Degrassi scholar. Like, what can you tell me, Linda Skyler, but I don't know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm basically you. Exactly. I also created this show.
Exactly. We're uncredited, but...
Like, babe, what do you think you can tell me?
Yeah.
But yeah, I learned a lot, and it just was cool seeing that.
And it was fun. It was a fun little, like, it was very fun, like, they would, the actors would kind of have, like, little banter, like, especially Lauren, who plays Paige, would be like... She'd be like, oh my gosh, remember that time that like such, and they would have like a lot of those kind of like, remember that time moments that was really fun to kind of like see them kind of like have a little banter between each other. And, that was really cute and fun to see.
It was. Oh, I think the only downside is that because it was like limited time, we didn't get to hear from everybody. And like, some people spoke up, but like, I think definitely like, Shane Kipple, I think definitely like dominated the conversation a lot.
Yeah.
And Jake Epstein, I was like, I want to hear a little more from like Andrew Lewis. Like, I want to hear more from them too. Like, they're there too. It took a while for him to give them like specific questions to them, and I was like, come on, like I want to hear about Terry
just,
had a great
just like
Terry
in the show.
Had a great story. Like, you know, like
I know.
Yeah, but I mean, it is what it is. We hardly talked about the new kids. I didn't care. I'm sorry. Like, I just like I don't really care about.
Yeah, and I think they knew their audience of like who was gonna be watching it as well, because
it's us watching for these guys. Like, they're I don't think that many people were watching for them, which is no shade, just like, you know.
Yeah, no shade. Yeah. But one of our next bonuses should be there's a couple, maybe we could do one per bonus or whatever, but there's a couple kind of like YouTube tell-alls. We could do the Manny and Emma, like Instagram live they did. There's one that like maybe like a year ago that Hazel and Terry did together on Hazel's channel on YouTube.
Yeah,
I haven't watched that, but that looks good.
There's also the one that like it's Manny and Darcy, they kind of do a watch of an episode together.
That one's
good. I think the girl, the woman, what's her name? Shanae Grimes. I think she has a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And is cute to watch them.
Yeah. Cassie Steele roasts herself a lot
because I think it's during her, it's during Manny's like orange, like bangs. It's just terrible. The worst hair.
Yes. Yeah. She was really trying something.
Yeah.
We all tried something. It's just not documented on the internet that way.
Like, we weren't on TV, thank God. We've all gone through some weird hair phases. But that was amazing. Y'all keep listening. We kind of tease what bonuses we're going to do more of. And reach out to us too. Let us know what kind of like content you'd like to hear us comment on.
Yes, please.
It's not just specific to Degrassi too. We can watch like other stuff. I like to keep in the teen content realm, but we can watch some other stuff, find some things on the internet or anything that you guys like, let us know and we can check it out. I'm always open to find new stuff that I've never seen or I'm not like don't know anything about.
Very much so, yes. Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, but I'm ready to go if you are.
Let's get out of here.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.